How's everybody doing today? Awesome. It's so good to see you guys. But we're going to get into some things we're actually dealing with. And I'm going to preach to the devil a little bit this morning. And I'm going to talk to the saints of God this morning about him. Because we need to talk about him a little bit. You guys remember how a few weeks ago we talked about first the hope of a resurrection. But then we also tied in some things about how there are still enemies present. You guys remember any of that? Who still has enemies? Or let me ask it this way. Who's overcome it all, man? And you've got no enemies. I want to talk to you. You need to come on up here. We're going to cancel the whole service. Me and you are going to go out. And we're going to talk. Because I want to hear about that experience that you have come into where you have zero enemies. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But how many of you are beginning to appreciate some of these enemies? Dave was like, I'm not exactly sure how to answer that one. Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies? Ooh, what brings you to a place where you love your enemies? Interesting thought. Let's go over to the book of Revelation. Now look, I'm gonna probably be moving kind of quick this morning because, as I say many times, I'm not going to get to everything. There's just no way. There's too much going on, too much to deal with. I'm going to do the best I can. And it's like Tim and I were talking, you know, I'm not under confinement, right? We only have so much time. We have to do this, you know, with extended conversations. And a lot of that comes one-on-one. Nothing better than one-on-one, man. One-on-one conversations can get real intimate, can get very detailed. And what do you think the detail would be about? It'd be about where God is in you, where that enemy is in you. That's why the fellowship and the conversation needs to happen. That's why we talked Wednesday about the Word of God and how John was proclaiming the importance of the witness they had received and how he encouraged the saints of God to join themselves to them as apostles because they had received witness of the Lord. They had seen him, handled him, touched him, the word of life. And he said, we proclaim it because we're now full of joy. And as we proclaim this witness to you and you join to us in this witness, it becomes your witness and you have joy with us. You have fellowship with us, right? So don't be ashamed if you're not running around here with all of these awesome dreams and visions and so forth. You've got the good word of God being preached and taught to you. And that right there is setting a very firm foundation, an apostolic foundation. And if you stay close to the elders of God, and I say it all the time, stay close to your pastors, okay? Stay very close to your pastors, stay close to your elders, you're going to be just fine. Why? Because God holds these men of God accountable. Trust me. No one gets more reproved than elders. No one. No one gets more reproof, more correction, more instruction than elders of God. You say, wait a minute, I thought there came a time when all that was done. Well, I can tell you right now, I haven't got there. I don't know anybody else among us that's got there. I don't know any elders of God that's got to a place where they're so spiritual that God still doesn't talk to them and instruct them and guide them and lead them and, yes, even at times reprove them. Make sense? I'm telling you, man, the reproof of the Lord is awesome. You come to a place where you appreciate those things of correction and reproof. And if we're wise, we're going to love it. We're going to love instruction. We're going to love reproof. And we're going to stay humble. And we're going to walk with God. And we're going to let God talk to us and increase us. Why? Because if God's coming after you and he's instructing you, what's he after? An enemy. He wants to deal with an enemy in your thought. He wants to deal with an enemy in your spirit. Maybe it's in your flesh. I hope you guys understand what I'm talking about, because we are 100% dealing with things that are within you. I just gave you an example of things that work in this flesh, like an addiction to an iPhone. Could that be the working of a spirit? Because I know we ask these questions. Could it be tied to the spirit of the world? Absolutely. 100%. But then so could following after all of the things that are going on in the political world. You could get so drawn away by those things that the spirit of the world entice you and get you so addicted to following those things that you forget God. You see my point? But then there are some addictions that just work in this body, and it's baggage that sometimes you have inherited from previous generations. We love to think we're not like our parents. We love to think that. And then as you grow older, you realize, oh my God, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and guess what? I see both my parents there. Not just in the imagery, but in the personality, in the mindset, in the habitual aspect of things. We see ourselves from previous generations, and you'll have somebody say, you remind me of, and you're like, ooh, don't say that to me. You know, you're just like your mother. Oh, no, I'm not. But you are, and you don't realize it, right? Interesting. But we're not here to get into all that. We just chatting a little bit, kind of setting the stage. And what I'm really doing is dividing a few things here real quickly. But I want to get to some source material. I want to get to some origin material. I want to get to some things that worked from the beginning. I want to get into some things that have been around for a very long time. I want to get into the story of God and what God is really doing for us, because there is an amazing, amazing story that God is working in us. And there's been something that God's been talking to us about for a very long time. And it may so be that so many of us are in different places of this story, okay? But nonetheless, if you follow suit, if you just follow the gospel, if you just follow what God is doing, the leading of the Holy Ghost, submitting to the anointing and so forth, everything we've always taught, guess what God's going to do for you? He's going to bring you in that same path forward, right? We talk about Rick, we talk about everything God did for him and all these others that God's doing for the other elders of God. Well, what about you guys? Isn't God doing the same? It may be just in a different place, maybe a little further behind, if you will. And sometimes we take that as a negative. That's not a negative. That just means you are where you are in God. So what if God wants to get that enemy in you where you're at today? Does that make sense? Wouldn't you want him to do it? Say, well, I would love to know what the enemy is. Well, let's talk about it. Now, I told you this morning we're going to deal pretty quickly through some things, but let's go to Revelation 12, verse 8. Let's see. No, verse 7. Let's start in verse 7. There was war in heaven. This is chapter 12, by the way. Revelation chapter 12. And there was war in heaven. In heaven, guys. That's interesting. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Well, there's your first clue that the devil is not going to win. Thank you, Brad, for that. Amen. There you go, Michelle. He's not going to win. Do you hear me? Now watch this. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Are you kidding me, man? There was a time in prophecy where this dragon that had existed, you're gonna hear this in the language of God here in just a moment, where he's been around, I think it's in verse 9, he's been around for a long, long time. He's ancient, he's old, he's been around for a very long time. Now, we're not getting into those specifics, okay? There are certain things that have come by way of experience and witness, and I may not share all of those things. I'm going to do my best to stay in the context of Scripture. I may reference some things that you may not be able to literally go and say, okay, here's the matter of fact, here's exactly how and where and when and so forth as to where it's stated. But I can promise you this, you're going to find it in the precept of the Word of God, okay? So if I say certain things, don't be so quick per se to judge it until you just simply wait on God and say, okay, well, I haven't witnessed that, I haven't seen that, I haven't experienced that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I'm not going to chase that, though. It's kind of like dreams. We have dreams, we don't understand them. And what would Rick tell us? Just put it on the shelf. If you don't understand it, put it on the shelf. What's the whole thing about putting it on the shelf? Waiting on God. Why? Because when we get in a hurry and we don't wait on God, what works? An enemy. Let's keep it in the context of the thought I'm in this morning. An enemy works. Some people said lust, desire, impatient. So I get it. I'm with you 100%. Those things definitely all work. But what is the culmination of it all? Because that's the thought I'm in. The culmination of it all is the man of sin, the enemy. Okay? This enemy is what God reveals, which, mind you, is done in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because without the revelation of Jesus Christ, you don't know the enemy. You don't even know that there is a devil without God. If God doesn't talk to you, you don't know about evil. You don't know about darkness. You don't know about the enemy. You don't know about the wicked. You don't know about any of it. We like to make the devil this big bad, this great power that has so much power in thought sometimes. It's easy to think he has more power than God. What would do that? Giving too much attention to him, too much thought to his power, too much. Now, I'm not denying that he's got power. Trust me, I'm going to show you this morning, but hopefully. He's got some power, Keith, doesn't he? He's got power. But I got news for you. God is and has always had more power. This whole thing goes back to God. This whole thing belongs to God. This thing does not belong to the devil. The devil's the one that snuck in. Remember the garden? He's the one that snuck in and began to work against the plan of God. And we might talk about that just for a minute, but watch this. He prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And here it is, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then in verse 10, he said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And how did they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, if you keep reading down, well, let's just do it. It's fine. We got time. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there was a war in heaven. He was cast out of heaven. Where did he go? Where did God send him? To the earth. How mad was he? God told all of heaven, the word of the Lord in all of heaven was, rejoice, O heavens. This enemy, this old serpent, the devil, is no longer in heaven. This heaven is now cleansed. It's clean. But now, you that dwell in the earth, woe unto you. Because the devil has now come with great wrath, and he opened his mouth and began to cause a flood to go after the woman. Who in the precept of the scriptures is the woman? Church. Isn't it the church? Now I get it. We could go back and we could establish her as wisdom, her as the tree of life. We could do a lot of things to build that precept. We just don't have that time this morning. I'm counting on all you Bible scholars, understanding some of the precepts that are at work here. But when it comes to the woman, I want to liken her unto the church, the New Jerusalem. Now, she at times may not come or be at that place right now. In prophecy, she may be that. Megan, the woman of God in you could be in prophecy that New Jerusalem, but maybe in your consciousness, not quite yet come to that. Does that make sense? But where is that woman? Is it coming into faith? Is it coming into belief? Are you starting to realize the woman of God is in me? And that woman of God is righteous and clean and holy. She's a wise virgin. She serves the Lord. She doesn't care about the things of the world. She wants to follow after God. Does that make sense? If that's where the woman is at in you, then good for you, because I got news for you. That's the kind of woman we want. We do not want a woman that is seduced away, if you will, at every turn, chasing after spirits of the world. Because that would make the church, according to Colossians 1, it references the church being the body, Jesus Christ himself being the head. So now we got Jesus as the headship of God. Remember, every woman, the head of every woman is the man. The head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. So for anyone that says, hold on now, why do you men get to be in charge? We're not. We have to submit to the Lord. And let me rephrase that. We no longer have to submit to the Lord. We love submitting to the Lord. Does that make sense? And guess what the Lord does? He submits to God. So someone's always submitting to someone. That's how the kingdom of God works. You guys remember when the disciples had a dispute among them about who would be greatest? That's what Jesus called it, by the way. He called it a dispute. Oh, you guys are having a dispute. Oh, let's talk about this. Question. Did I call you out? Did I call you as ecclesia? Did I call you to follow me to teach you how to be fishers of men? Did I call you out of the world to create the New Testament church in you so that you could be like Gentile kings and lord over one another? To have control and work wickedness against one another? Or did I call you to suffer? Did I call you to die? Did I call you to give your life? He said, you want to be great? Let me give you the lesson. Number one, you got to be a servant. You want to be greatest? The greatest must be a servant. Number two, you got to be willing to drink the same cup I'm drinking. The same cup of death that I'm about to consume. You able to drink that cup? They said, yeah, Lord, we're able to drink that cup. He said, you will. But you will not lord over your brothers. You will not lord over my people. We got this thing right, don't we? Like, you guys don't belong to me. You guys belong to Christ. You guys belong to God. You are God's people. We are stewards that God has put in place to walk in humility and love and kindness and compassion. And before that could happen, guess what God had to do? He had to address who? That great man of sin, that old serpent, that dragon. Trust me when I tell you, it'd be pretty hypocritical if we're up here telling you that you got to trust God for deliverance from this dragon if God himself has not done that work in us. Make sense? So we're not called to lord over one another. We are called to be servants. We are called to work humility, to work love. And I got news for you right now. This accuser of the brethren, that's what he does. You remember John 8? John 8, Jesus was very clear to those Pharisees because they came to him and they said, "You being a man, call yourself God." Jesus said, "I am." "No, you don't understand. You're born of Joseph, man. You're just a guy. You're just a man like us. You put your pants on the same way we do." Now, come on. I know that's not in the Bible. I get it. I'm being metaphorical here. But you understand what I'm saying. Every elder among us, every deacon among us, they ain't nobody special. Ain't nobody greater than the other one. Only God is great, man. And without God, we would be all men most miserable in this life. I promise you this, you would not want to know me without God. Without God, I was miserable. With God, full of joy, full of love, full of life, full of peace. It's an adventure, like Rick said, every single day we trust God, we walk in God. Does that mean there's no tribulation, no trial, no persecution, no test, no enemies? No. It just means that there's certain places of confidence that you come to because there's been so many overcomings of those enemies that you know in every single battle, God is the great one. Jesus is the great one, man. Isn't that awesome? We learn to trust God and walk with God and be faithful to God. And as we're faithful to God, man, he keeps us. He preserves us. Now, where's this other portion of scripture here? 20. Revelation 20. I want to read another reference of this old serpent. Now, watch this. Verse 1, chapter 20. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Whew. Try to imagine that, man. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine it? Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, man. You can imagine this stuff right here. You're going to see a sight. You see an angel of God with a great chain in his hand. And it says that he comes down with a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Woo, man, we talking some cool stuff now, aren't we? This angel sent from God with a chain in his hand and the key to the bottomless pit. Now, you know, when that old serpent saw this angel coming, he knew. What do you think? You think he knew? You think he was nervous? I'll give you a secret. The devil was real nervous this morning. Why? Because he knew what I was going to preach on. Oh, he talked to me this morning. We talked back. See, God knows what he's doing. And when God steps in, devil ain't got no power. Show me in this passage of scripture where the devil had any power to resist this angel. He laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Absolutely nothing Satan could do about it. Absolutely nothing that old dragon could do about it. Absolutely nothing. So what does that tell you? tells me very clear. Go ahead, Megan, I want to hear it. So Megan said in a nutshell, there's nothing he can do in us then to stop the word of God that God is doing. Fair enough? So what's the flip side of that, Marty? If the devil's present, who led him there? You did? Didn't God? You guys remember Job? The sons of God, plural, by the way, the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan came with one of them or with them? Oh, wait, what? How? You guys don't want to hear me say this. How can God be in each and every single one of you and me all at the same time? How's that possible? How is God in me and God's also in you? He's a spirit. Oh, so then can the devil also be in each and every one of us? Now, you might be in a different place. I get it. So could God. Doesn't mean God's not God. But maybe the word of God in you is still becoming, like John talked about. Maybe it's still working through some things, becoming greater truth. And you say, oh, the word of God is truth, period. Yes, I agree with you 100%. But not everyone knows that. Make sense? Julie, not everyone knows the word of God is truth. Not all men have faith. So what if, for example, love? Love is just a word, Paula, until it's not. Love is just a word, Dave, until wisdom comes into it, understanding comes into it, enlightenment comes into it, consciousness comes into it, and then all of a sudden love takes on meaning, Nancy, and it's no longer just a word. It means something to you. And as it you said it's alive, beautiful. As it comes alive to you, what does it become? Part of you? Part of your nature? See, I'm going to tell you something, man. When we're dealing with consciousness and spirit and words and all of these different things, we don't always understand the full matter, do we? So what do we got to do, Nancy? Don't we got to wait on God sometimes? We got to be patient, don't we? And we got to give ourselves to that word of God so that word can become what? It can become, someone said, God, true, in you, right? Because it's already God. But it has to become God in you. Does that make sense? What I was going to say is that word becomes the truth in you. And here's what I mean by that. It becomes the truth in you that no devil in hell can change. It becomes the word of truth in you. Dan talked about it last week, called it the word of faith. It becomes the word of faith in you, Keith, that no devil can persuade you against. In other words, that word now has what? Power. Power. Anointing. Now, can you put it together here? Why does the devil have power against you? Well, let's go back to Job for a minute. The sons of God came, Satan came with them, and God was the one that asked the question. Isn't that interesting? See, even when you go back to the garden in the beginning, it wasn't the serpent that originated that whole thing, it was God. If God had not given the commandment, Nancy, that serpent would have never shown his face. If God had not presented his word, Julie, that serpent would have remained hidden. No need. You see my point? No need. God said to the devil, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, that was after he asked where he'd been. Well, I've been walking to and fro through the earth. Ooh, which earth? in the earth of those sons? Is that possible? All right. We don't want to go there, do we? Watch this. He says, have you considered him? He's like, well, I'm just going to tell you. You got a hedge around him. I'm just going to have to skip through this for a sake of time. You got a hedge around him, so it wouldn't matter. I can't touch him. You got a hedge around him. You protect him. You're keeping him. You're preserving him. You see my point? God himself had to tell that serpent, that devil, okay, hedge is off. You can touch him. Just don't kill him. You see my point? If it wasn't for God allowing that enemy to come against you, you would never deal with the devil. You would never deal with a serpent. You would never deal with him. You would never know anything of him. How many is following what I'm saying? But because God wanted to grow up his sons, grant them wisdom and understanding and skill, to grant them strength, anointing, and power. It's kind of like that Galatians 4 young son, that young child that's actually heir to the throne of the kingdom. God covers him, man. God keeps him. God doesn't let those enemies come in after that young son. Kind of like how Dan says it all the time with Jesus and his disciples. Who dealt with the Pharisees? Did the disciples deal with the Pharisees, or did Jesus deal with the Pharisees? Jesus did. Why? Because they were children. He called them children. Isn't it funny about how God works? One minute you can be a child. One minute you can be a brother. One minute you can be a son. One minute you can be a daughter. Isn't that awesome? Boy, I'm going to tell you, this is awesome, man. God is a spirit. So the multiplicity of these things in regards to the aspect of the soul is just amazing. Did you know that I hope you can tell that when you look at me, I'm all man. I'm a man. Does that make sense? That's what I am. But guess what's in me? There's a woman in me. There's a whole family, you say. You're jumping all the way to the end, Micah. Micah's over there like, yep. Yeah, there's a wife in me, there's daughters in me, there's sons in me. Would you guys believe me if I told you that you guys are in me? What if I told you that every single elder of God is in me? They've all been born in me. They're grown up now. What if I told you that these deacons are in me? They're all in me. Why? Because that's the family of God. Now, if you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, guess what God wants to do for you as well? Guess what that means for these other elders of God and these other deacons of God? Guess what that means for them? I've seen Keith's lineage, Keith's family, Keith's kingdom. He's got a huge family, man. And you guys are like, well, yeah, we know. We see them here every week. They literally fill half the church. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And yet, as big as his kingdom is, as big as his family line is, he's in me. That's all in me. Which means I can go visit his kingdom anytime God wills it, anytime Keith wills it. That's why I told him once upon a time, when it comes to his generations, the angel of the Lord is going to be there to minister to his generations. Because God in us creates those things. Does that make sense? That's why when you talk to Dan, if you're privileged enough to talk to Dan, and yeah, I said it that way. If you're privileged enough to talk to him about these more intimate things, because he's not going to give that to everybody. He's going to give that to who the right prayers went for, the right intents working, the right wills working. We don't give this thing away to pigs. We don't give this thing away to scoffers. We don't give this thing away to those that have no faith or those that are working this old serpent. Woo, what'd I just say? We're going to give this thing to those that follow, that submit, that love God. If you were sitting with him, he could tell you about some of the witnesses that he's had about the elders of God. Why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because I know of a truth by the Holy Ghost that the will of this serpent intends destruction, division, and where he can no longer work in that heaven. He has created kingdoms in the earth that want to work against God. He wants to oppose God. He wants to oppose Christ. This is why it is so important. When I took my last walk with Rick Rush right down here at his house, and the guy could barely walk, he grabbed me by the arms and he said, promise me that you will never stop preaching. You must preach the gospel. Gabriel himself stood before the Lord, stood before the throne of God and prophesied to my angel, you must preach the gospel. Why? Because the people need the feast of the Lord. Why? Because if you don't, devils will rob it from you. See, you got watchers, you got kings, you got priests, you got a high priest sitting right back there. Did you know that? You go read Revelation 19. You got a high priest that's walking in the temple of God, an angel holding the incense of the Lord before the table of God. That angel works in Keith Hickey. That's witness in the Holy Ghost. You say, why? Because you need to know you're covered. You need to know that this old serpent that is out to work division and strife and contention ain't got a chance against God's kingdom. No chance. I don't mean he doesn't win a few battles along the way. Now, this is interesting. Did I finish this? He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Now, I could interpret that a couple of ways. Some of you are like, boy, I wish the devil would shut up in me. He's a talking all the time. You know why he keeps talking to you? Because you don't know who you are. One day you'll grow up and you'll turn around and tell him to shut up. Or your angel, just like in Revelation 20, will take the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand after the Father sends you, and you will go shut him up yourself. Man, I'm, you know, maybe this is only exciting me, but that's okay. He cast him into the bottomless pit. He shut him up. He set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, these are some of the things I probably won't have time to get into that I want to get into. I really do. But this is the interesting part right here. One of them. In verse 4. Now, I think this goes back as well to, is it chapter 5? You guys remember, how many was there at the ordination service? 10 plus years ago. Where was that at? California? My good friend and brother, Pastor B. An amazing man of God, amazing kingdom. God's been very good to him. Love him greatly. We were at his church, right, in California. And the six elders, Rick was officiating, and he preached the message on those that were given thrones. You remember that? Those that were given thrones to exercise judgment. He was working prophetically about those elders of God, about us. That was 10 plus years ago. In him, in his heaven, in his earth, those elders had been given thrones. They had been sit around the throne of Jesus Christ himself. And hands were laid on. The dream went something down the lines of the hand of God came across eternity. And dripping with oil, laid hands on those lights in heaven and brought them forth and set them on thrones. Now, the last 10 years has been coming to that. Does that make sense? This is the first resurrection. This is what God is doing in this revelation of Jesus Christ. There are those that are going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. What if I told you that has happened? That has happened. This 1,000-year millennia has happened. Now, I've already explained clearly that maybe it has not happened in everyone's consciousness. But this has happened. And during this 1,000 years, this ancient one, this serpent, this old devil has been shut up for the entirety of that time. Could you imagine, Julie, what kind of world it would be if we had no wickedness? Now, I get it. There's a lot of teachings that will try to convince you and persuade you that that's going to happen here, that Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds and the new Jerusalem is going to sit down actually over in Jerusalem, and this 1,000-year millennia is going to take place here, and all wickedness and everything is going to go away, and we're going to have perfect peace in the kingdom of God, and it's going to literally change this physical realm. I am going to keep all this in me. You guys okay with that? I'm going to keep it all in me. I'm not going to put it out here. I'm going to keep that in me. Why? Because I'm just going to give you a little secret. The parable of wickedness that you see in this world, it will continue on. But guess what else is going to continue? God's mercy, God's grace. You think it matters that we're here? Who believes it matters that we're here? You say, well, if this is all so wonderful and it's all in me, then let me just leave this body. Let me just die and move on. This body doesn't matter. This life. I'm going to tell you something. That's not a righteous thought. You better be thankful every single day. And I can say this because I am an elder in God. I'm telling you straight up. You need to be thankful every single day that you're here. Why? Because you have opportunity right now to hear from God, to learn as much as you can about God in this lifetime. And I'm going to tell you, as much as this body sometimes rises up against me, as much as the baggage of the flesh that come with the family line that we come from, as much as there is temptation and trial and test in this body, what I call an avatar. I know some people don't like when I say that because it's not in the Bible, but that's okay too. This body, this physical body, as long as you're in it, you have opportunity. No matter what comes against you, you come to church, you give yourself to God, you submit to your elders, you submit to your pastors. You humble yourself, you ask questions, you fellowship, you pursue after. As long as you pursue after God, I promise you, even if you pursue after God in the wrong way and you ask the wrong question and you're in error, what does it matter? You're here trying to find God. And I promise you, if you're trying to find God, we want to show him to you. And we will too. Rick had to wait 2 years for me to stop fussing and cussing and messing around, bringing all kinds of weakness. That guy sit there for 2 years and listen to me squabble and fuss and bring weakness and blah, 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 blah. and never letting in him. He never touched the unclean thing. He was a high priest, and he sit there, and he never touched the dead thing. Never got defiled in it. He just waited, and he would sow. He would sow. He would sow. Well, Gary, we need to maybe talk about this, or Gary, I'd like to talk about this. And a lot of times he would wait to see if I would bring it back to him. Well, I got news for you. When I did, the first time, when I brought back a dream to him, and I have to quantify it as that, because that's what it was. Doesn't necessarily have to be that, but that's what it was in my journey. I brought back a dream of the beginning of the creation of God, when God was separating light from darkness in the angel. And I'm telling you right now, dude, it lit Rick up. That's what I've been waiting on. Let's talk about that. Well, the problem was is I couldn't really talk a lot about it. All I could talk about is what God showed me. But as one conversation after another conversation, and those enemies were still present, those enemies, but I got the secret, man. I realized, oh my gosh, man, this guy not once has entertained this accuser. He has not once touched my weakness. He has not once fellowshiped dead things with me. He doesn't even acknowledge it. And we get so mad sometimes. Well, the elder's not listening to me. He doesn't hear. You don't understand. No, I'm not touching dead things. I'm not going to sit there and fellowship with a devil. Oh, see, I knew it. I'm a devil. You just confirmed it. My God, man, have some discernment. I didn't call you a devil. I just said there is a devil. And right now it's working in you. But that's okay. Let's just ignore him for a minute and let's talk about Jesus. Because trust me, we're going to get that devil. We're going to get him. We're going to bind him. We're going to cast him into a pit. And we're going to lock it and seal him up, and he won't be able to get out. I'm telling you. And so during this 1,000 years, these elders are reigning, man, reigning, reigning, reigning. Praise God, it's awesome. But at the end of the 1,000 years, woo, something happens. God instructs this angel. I can see it now at the throne of God. Now listen, I'm sending you to bind this angel, but it's going to be for 1,000 years. After that, he's got to be loose for a little season. But don't worry. We got a plan. We got a plan. If you go back to, what is it, Ezekiel 38, you can read the plan. The whole blueprint for the Battle of Armageddon, for the end times, for how God is going to destroy Gog and Magog. You can see the whole plan in place. Then if you really trust God, you can see the experience of it. You can partake in it. You can actually see the ending. You can see it. And I got news for you. You can read it all day long in this Bible. Not to diminish this in any way, shape, or form, but you can read it all day long. But remember what I said about love? It don't quite have the same meaning, Nancy, as it does when you witness it and you're there and you're watching it all go down. Those words then begin to take on a whole new meaning. They consume your being. It takes on a whole new meaning. Because by the time God is done, and we might preach on this at some point, Gog and Magog, very interesting. Gog was a prince, you know, and he was a prince about Poudy in the land of Magog. A lot of times I used to think it was two individuals, but in actuality, according to the scripture in Ezekiel 38, Gog was the prince of the land of Magog. So you got a prince who is over the land of Magog, which is inclusive of all these nations. That's what the Bible lines out here. And you've got nations that are amazing. You could see, for example, the king of Ethiopia, and I'm going to tell you, he's fierce. When you see him, you're like, you're almost amazed by it. You're like, my God, he's fierce. Crown, armor, spear, everything, he's fierce. But at the end, when Satan is loosed, he goes out and deceives these nations, and he gathers these kings to the great feast of God, which God orders. God sets it up, Julie, not the devil. See, I'm putting a thought in you this morning. We don't want to take the thought, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. No, we want to think God, 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 God is in the seat of judgment. He's the one in control. He's the one that's ordered the whole thing out. The devil is a pawn in God's plan. Don't misread me. I know there's devils. I know that there's devils even now that are trying to work division, schism. I get it. It was the way it was in the New Testament church with those apostolic fathers. Every single one of those guys, for the entirety of their ministry and their life, they dealt with devils. Word of God came to Paul, and he was ready to go to Macedonia. And when he had the vision, he saw a man beckoning him to come. Come, come preach the gospel to us. But Paul said, but Satan withstood me. Satan withstood me. Paul. So don't think that we're done here with the devil. But isn't it interesting that Jesus did say at the end of his tenure, at the end of his time in the earth, he said, that same prince that was cast out of heaven, he's coming. The prince of the ruler of this world, he's coming. And sorry, guys, if I didn't quote that exactly, but he's coming. The prince of this world is coming. But let's finish it. But he has nothing in me. And then in another passage of the Gospels, he said, now the prince of this world must be cast out. So he was cast out in heaven. He came down to earth. He had to work in the earth for a time. What did the apostle say? The devil's time is short. He has but a short time, John said. Remember all those antichrists? He has but a short time. When the devil's time is up, guess what God does? He sends this angel to bind him. He puts him in that pit. But the battle is not yet completely done until he's loosed. He goes out and deceives those nations of Gog and Magog, and he brings all those kings together. And when you go read Ezekiel 38, it's quite the telling. They come against the city of God, and you know what happens? God opens up the heavens, and fire comes down and consumes them. There is no war. God just wipes it out. Every enemy. And then you know what happens? The books are opened. And all the dead they're brought before God, Keith, for judgment. The great white throne judgment. Even the sea give up their dead. Hell gives up their dead. All of the dead stand before God. And you know what the judgment comes down to? It comes down to everything we're preaching to you about good and evil. About loving God or loving this world. Remember when Paul talked about the little g, the god of this world, who hath blinded the minds of them that they cannot see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Remember that? That's all the devil wants to do, guys. He wants to blind you and not let you see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He does not want you, Julie, coming to everything God has for you. He doesn't want you, Paula, coming to everything God has for you. He doesn't want Yuma Church coming to everything God has for them. Visalia Church and Boise Church. He doesn't want any of us coming to everything God has for us. But I got a message for him. You ain't gonna stop it. It's all been written. Your end has been written. Your defeat has been set in stone. You can't defy it. You might kick, you might oppose, you might battle, you might even gather all those kings and come against the greatest king of them all, but you ain't got a shot to overcome our Christ. And I'm just going to end it with this. When you see the host, that heaven that Jesus Christ brings with him, guys, I'm just going to tell you, man, you can't put it into words. You can't put it into words. What Jesus brings with him at that battle, the devil has no shot. Now, can we begin to think like this? Let's make it as simple as we can. Because I'm sowing little prophecy to you. I understand that. I know what I'm doing here. But I want, well, the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. Let's put it that way. I ain't taking no credit for that. I can be dumb as a bag of bricks sometimes. Without God, I wouldn't know any of this. But I got news for you. God knows it all, man. Like Rick said, we ain't smart enough to figure all this out. This is just stuff that I've chosen to believe and follow and give myself to. And we question sometimes, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Yeah. Yep. It's worth it. If I had to lose everything, you're telling me it's still worth it? Yep, it's still worth it. You want temporal or you want eternal? What? Come on now. What are we doing here? I want eternal. I am eternal. There's no way to think about this life anymore in a linear perception. God's done changed too much. I can't even think about it like that. It's honestly... You may struggle with this. I hope you don't. The carnal mind is what would struggle. Brian's been preaching on that. I ain't got a chance to check it out, but I will. But the carnal mind would say, this is impossible. But I'm telling you, all things are possible with God. It's impossible for me to think temporal. I don't think temporal anymore. I think eternal. Are you with me? So what's the end of it? I'm going to tell you something, guys. The devil's plan going all the way back. Maybe we'll talk about this on Wednesday when we gather together. I want to put something in your thought. I want you to think about this. You guys remember way back when there was a message that was preached. You know what? We might just get into it Wednesday. But I want you to think about it like this. Satan's plan from the very beginning is to lie about God's plan. That's what it is. It's to try to persuade you that what God said is not true. Are you with me? Is that simple or not? That's your biggest enemy. Is that what God has said, it's not true. It's not true. I want you to stand your ground firmly and believe what God has told me is true. What my elders have told me is true. I gave you a little secret to maybe what we might get into on Wednesday. God's secrets, God's mysteries, over time, God lets us in on those things. Slowly, surely, consistently, patiently. Because God's not in a rush. He's not hasty. But here's the firm truth of it all. God is truth. The devil is a liar. How simple is that? So when you get those voices that rise up that say, nope, everything Dan's been preaching, I don't believe it. Everything Brian's preaching, everything Keith's preaching, no, I don't believe it. It can't be possible. There's too many thoughts telling me it can't be, it's wrong, it's not true. Pay attention. You got an old serpent. Sometimes you're not even dealing with him, you're just dealing with some of his kids. We just ain't got time to get into all that. But I'm telling you, man, if God has talked to you, and he has because we have talked to you, don't misjudge that. I know where that thought can go. But God has talked to you. I promise you, God's talked to several in this room intimately. You believe that because the plan, the goal, the intent, the will of the enemy is to convince you that what God has said is not true. And that is the lie. Are you with me? Stand up with me this morning. You guys are so blessed. We got some amazing pastors and elders and men of God that have been through hell and back, man. I love these guys. I love them. I would lay my life down for them. Give myself to them. That's what God's been teaching all these years. That's everything he's been bringing us to. This old serpent that's been around for many ages, he's poked his head up, man. We're going to get him. Who's with us? Who's on the Lord's side?